If you have your Bible, and I hope you do, let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 22 through 34 this morning. Luke 12, 22 through 34. As we continue our study through the book of Luke, we come to a really difficult chapter. Luke 12 is long, there's a lot in there, and there's really a lot of difficult things. As a matter of fact, in the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about some phrases and some words that Jesus says that maybe seem harsh or difficult to understand. Today's is a little easier to understand and a little harder to apply. I would encourage you to read through Luke chapter 12 over the next several weeks because there's so much in here. It's going to take us a little bit of time to get through it. This morning, though, is something that I think all of us deal with. Some of us won't admit that we deal with, and all of us have difficulty overcoming. And that is anxiety. How many of you all in here will admit, I get anxious often. I have anxiety that I struggle with. Right? How many of you all would say that I never get nervous or stressed or anxious about anything? Anybody? Good. This message is for you then. This is wonderful. It's great when I pick a message that applies 100% across the board. And we all get anxious and anxiety, don't we? We all get worry. That's another word that we often use to describe our state of affairs. And I'm going to go ahead and put a caveat at the beginning of this. Right, I believe fully the application of this message I'll give you at the beginning. 100% I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ overcomes all fear, all anxiety, and all depression, mental illness, everything. However, I want you to know very clearly that Scripture doesn't teach us an immediate healing. And so when we talk about the cure for anxiety, the answer is the gospel. But there's a realization that even with the gospel of Christ, we still struggle with our anxiety, don't we? Even knowing Christ fully, there are times that it feels overbearing and too much to handle. I'm also one who will fully admit my own limitations as a pastor. I love to talk to people and help them through their issues biblically. If there's a passage of Scripture that can help you, if there's a biblical worldview that we can learn together that will help, I'm here to talk to you. But I'm also here to tell you that I am not a licensed counselor or psychiatrist, and I don't have all of the psychological answers that maybe someone else would have. So while I believe the gospel is the cure for anxiety, and we're going to talk about that as the message goes on, I also want to fully acknowledge that your salvation still often leaves you struggling. And there are times that our anxiety flares up, that we struggle through. For some people, this is more than others, but all of us have to deal with this anxiety in one form or fashion. So I would encourage you to look first and foremost to what the Word of God says. We're going to start there this morning. This is what the Bible tells us on how to deal with anxiety. And then I would also encourage you, if you need to talk to someone further, come and talk to myself or talk to a professional who can guide you in addition to what Scripture is going to help you, then to help you apply that to have a better understanding and grasp of dealing with anxiety. All that being said, we need to understand there is a cure. There is a day that is coming and will come when all anxiety, stress, depression, mental challenges will be over. And that's a day that we look forward to. And while we are here on earth, God gives us a glimpse of that on how to deal with our anxious heart and our anxious thoughts. So this morning in Luke chapter 12, Jesus addresses anxiety and worry. He understands that this is not something just bothering his disciples following him now or the crowds that are listening to him, but worry and anxiety has always existed, and so long as there is sin on this earth, so long as Jesus Christ has not completed his restoration of the universe, so long as we are still waiting for his return, we will continue to deal with anxiety. And it's going to be helpful as we read through Luke chapter 12 that we first identify the source of anxiety, that we second see how God is working and different examples on how God is providing for anxious creation, and then finally what his solution and what his cure is for overcoming our anxious thoughts. So let's look in Luke chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 22 and read through verse 34 this morning. Then he said to his disciples, Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life. I'm going to stop right there. If this is a commandment of Scripture, how many of us have broken this commandment already this morning? Jesus says to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They don't have a storeroom or a barn, and yet God feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than birds? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? If then you're not able to do even a little thing, why worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass, which is in the field today and is thrown into the furnace tomorrow, how much more will he do for you, you of little faith? Don't strive for what you should eat and what you should drink, and don't be anxious. For the Gentile world eagerly seeks all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be provided for you. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Make money bags for yourselves that won't grow old, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, as Jesus deals with anxiety and worry, he starts with sharing, I know what your source of worry is. I know where your anxiety comes from. He goes on to share a couple of examples of how God is providing and overcoming in an anxious creation. And he concludes by getting right to the point. This is how you need to deal with those anxious thoughts. So let's start with the need, right? Let's start with the source. The source is a need, an earthly need. We are anxious because there is something we're longing for. Jesus pinpoints it specifically towards the end of this passage and links it often to greed and a sinful heart. But he also knows that it's not always greed. It's often just an innate knowledge and desire, an inward knowledge that we know we have to have certain things to live. Jesus says you worry about what you're going to wear. You worry about what you're going to eat. You worry about having your daily needs met. God has wired you in such a way that you know you have to have certain needs, and worry comes when you don't feel like you can meet those needs. Sometimes it's not needs that everyone sees. Sometimes our anxiety comes from personal needs. Maybe the rest of the world doesn't see we need them, but you and I feel like we have to have them. So if you're a student, maybe the need is getting a good grade. Right? Maybe it's I'm anxious because I need to make this grade on a test. If you're anxious in your job, maybe it's performance-based. I know I need to meet this quota. I need to do this amount. Maybe in your relationships, it's with your spouse or with your children. I know I need to be there for them in this way, and I don't feel like I'm meeting that need. You and I come up with all sorts of earthly needs, and we become worried and anxious. Some of them are legit, and some of them sound far-fetched to most. But to each one of us, they are real, personal, and earthly needs. Jesus identifies the source of worry, and he calls the disciples out on it. That's why he says in verse 22 and 23, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat. Don't worry about where your next meal is coming from. Don't worry about your body, what you will wear. He says, life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. Now, in a Baptist church, that sounds very sacrilegious. But life is more than food, right? Jesus says there is more to life than filling your stomach. And if you go hungry for a day, because he's talking about hunger here, people who have no food, their earthly need is not met. If you go hungry for a day, there is more to your life than just your physical hunger. And the body is more than clothing. Jesus says, listen, I know where the source of your worry is. It's amazing how God can look into our hearts and into our souls and say, I know you're anxious and I know you're worried and I even understand why. who do you think put that need or that striving to meet your needs in your heart? Who do you think wired you in such a way to be a worker to provide for your family? Who given you a heart and a drive to succeed? Who is it that wired you the way you are? I understand your source of this earthly need that makes you anxious and makes you worried. Jesus can identify with us. He can look at us and say, I know exactly where your problem is. I understand why you're worried. We serve a sympathetic God. Not one who looks at us and says, just don't do it. But one who looks at us and says, you don't have to, because I know the problem and I've given you a solution. Jesus begins just simply by identifying our need. Verse 29, he says this way, don't strive for what you should eat and what you should drink, and don't be anxious. These three words are so soothing to hear and so difficult to act. Don't be anxious. For many of you, those three words make you more nervous and worrisome and anxious than if we never would have read them. Because now your earthly need is to not be worried. So you're worried that you are worried too much. Jesus looks and says, don't strive for the things of the world. And then he gives us several examples. If the source is an earthly need that we have to have our needs met, Jesus gives us some examples. God provides for our needs. So he points us to the birds and the flowers. He shows us his creation, how he is meeting the needs of both the ravens and the wildflowers. He says, look at them just for instance and see how I have met their earthly needs. In verse 24, consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. Ravens are not known for storing up for the winter. They don't have a storeroom or a barn. Ravens are scavengers. They simply fly around, find something that they think they can eat, and eat it. There is no storing. There is no working. They don't do it for themselves. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't have a storeroom. They don't have a barn. It says, consider them. God feeds them. They're not doing the work. They're not meeting their own need. God is meeting their need. And then listen to this application. Jesus says, aren't you worth much more than the birds? Think about it for just a moment. If God is going to feed the ravens, if God is going to provide for an animal who doesn't do anything for himself, how much more so is God going to provide for you? The question is, aren't you worth much more than birds? The answer is implied, a resounding yes. Infinity times yes. Birds are not created in the image of God, and yet God provides for them. You are created in the image of God, and we can be sure that God will meet the needs in our lives. He says in verses 27 and 28, consider how the wildflowers grow. They don't labor or spin thread. If you remember the two needs that Jesus points out, he says, some of you have a need for food, you need to eat. You're worried about where your next meal is coming from. God feeds the birds, God will feed you. Some of you are worried about your clothes, what you will wear. Some people probably were legitimately poor and saying, I have one outfit and if it rips, I go around naked. Others have the same worry that you and I have. Do I look good in what I'm wearing? Fashion is not something new to the 21st century. Right? In the early days, there were people who would go around and say, I don't have enough variety of clothes. I don't know what people will think about what I'm wearing. I don't know how this portrays who I am. I don't know about my dress, and is it appropriate or inappropriate? Is it something that is valued, or is it something that I'm looked down on for? Our need is in our clothing, and Jesus says, look at the wildflowers, how they grow. They don't labor. They don't spin thread. In other words, they don't make clothing. They don't work. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass which is in the field today and is thrown into the furnace tomorrow, how much more will he do for you, you of little faith? So God looks at the flowers. If the birds can do nothing, at least they can fly and they can scavenge, right? The flowers sit there. the wildflowers that you pass by, and you look into a field and say, look at the beautiful colors. Look how well adorned the field is. Look at the beauty of the flowers. If God is going to provide for them, how much more will He do for you? And then here's the crux of our issue. Jesus says, you of little faith. The source of our worry is that our earthly need is not met. The examples are God provides for His creation. And the problem is we don't trust God enough to meet our needs. We lack faith. Now, I will say this. You and I do not have a perfect faith. I don't have a perfect faith. And I'm here to tell you right now, you don't have a perfect faith. I grew up going to a Christian school, a Nazarene school. One of the things the Nazarenes teach and believe is that there comes a point in your Christian walk that you achieve perfection here on earth. I had a teacher who was the meanest teacher in the school, and she would tell us all the time that she has reached that state where she never sinned. I knew that was a lie because of how mean she was, right? You and I will never have a perfect faith here on earth, and so because our faith is lacking, our anxiety will still creep up. That does not mean you should beat yourself up and worry that you're worrying and blame yourself. We have an acknowledgement and an understanding. We're still going to struggle with this because we're not made perfect yet. But the crux is we lack a perfect faith. And so the cure then, if God provides for the birds and the flowers, if He is providing all the needs of creation, the cure then is to put things in perspective. It's not to have a perfect faith. God is working that in your life. If you are a believer, He is working you towards perfection, and one day you will stand before Him, and He will complete that perfect nature in you. You will never worry again. But He knows you're not there yet. I'm not there yet. We're still working in progress. So Jesus says, put things in perspective. Start understanding the creation around you and how God provides for it, and realize that God is meeting your needs. It may not be the way you want Him to. It may not be your perceived needs, but every need you have, God is providing. And Jesus says, put things in perspective. Get your priorities straight. Luke 12:31 is one of my favorite phrases in the Gospels. I love the way Matthew puts it. I normally quote it. Luke quotes it here in Luke 12:31. He says, seek His kingdom. Matthew says, seek first, before anything else, His kingdom. And these things will be provided for you. What are these things? The food that you need to eat. The clothes that you need to wear. The needs that you have here on earth. Jesus says, why don't you start by putting things in perspective, and instead of chasing after food and chasing after clothes, chasing after test scores, chasing after job performance, chasing after relationships, chasing after your earthly need, why don't you chase after the things of the kingdom of God? Why don't you start by putting all of your focus on your faith? Why don't you begin just by saying, God, I know You're going to meet the needs I have, and I'm not going to go without. And the blessing and the promise is that when we seek God, He will provide. Your food will be taken care of. Does that mean you'll never go hungry? No, there are times you might go hungry. Your clothes will be provided for you. Does that mean you'll always have the nicest and newest clothing? No, sometimes you'll have to do without. Does that mean you'll always make your test score? Does that mean you'll always reach your job performance? Does that mean your relationships will be perfect? Does that mean everything that you want will be given to you? No. But it means that God knows your need better than you know your need. He knows the birds of the field. He knows the flowers of the field. He knows His creation. He knows you. He knows what you need, and He's going to give you exactly what you need. Seek His kingdom. Then in verse 32, He says, don't be afraid. Three more words that are hard, right? My needs aren't being met. God, I'm scared and I'm afraid. I'm worried and I'm afraid. Don't be afraid, little flock. Listen to this beautiful promise. Your Father delights to give you the kingdom. We start putting things in perspective. We realize God wants what's best for us. This isn't some prosperity gospel that God wants to make us rich. No, this is God wants to see what's best for us and give us what is best. Sometimes what's best for us is not what we think we want. God, I wanted a nicer car. I wanted a bigger house. I wanted a more stable family. I wanted a better job. I wanted this and I wanted that. God says, no, I know what's best for you. And I take delight, God says, in providing for you. I want to give you the kingdom of God. I want to give you something that's greater and bigger. And so what does he say to do? Here's your application, and I challenge you to take God up on this. Verse 33, he says, sell your possessions and give it to the poor. Go ahead. Everything you own, put on eBay. Take whatever money you get, give it to people who don't have anything, and those who were poor now will have your stuff, and you will become poor. Go ahead and test God. And that's not a literal. God is not saying, go ahead and live on the streets. Let's, again, understand the context of this. God is saying, everything that you think is of value is not. And so it doesn't matter whether you have it or not. He's not saying be homeless. He's saying put it in perspective. Understand that your house is not the most important thing. Your car is not the most important thing. Your job is not the most important thing. Your relationships are not even the most important thing. All of them can be disposable. What is the most important thing? He says, sell everything, give it to the poor, and make money bags for yourselves that won't grow old. In other words, take everything that you feel is of worth and put it in something that is eternal, that will never grow old. Everything you have, instead of being given to the food you eat and the clothes that you wear, give it to the glory of God and trust that He's going to meet your needs. So put all of your efforts into money bags that won't grow old. It's an inexhaustible treasure in heaven. And no thief will come near and no moth will destroy. It is eternal. What is the cure for anxiety? The cure for anxiety is understanding that God's meeting of your needs is far greater than your own meeting of your needs. It means that you can run and strive after the things of this world, the things that you believe are most important, and when you fail, you'll feel anxious. Or we can strive for the things that have eternal value, our relationship with Christ, knowing that we have a right standing before Him, and knowing that we're still going to struggle, but understanding that one day there's an eternal inheritance, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven where no thief can come in and steal it from us, where no moth can come and deteriorate it. It's eternal and it lasts forever. The cure for our anxiety is to put things in perspective, to understand that God's work in our lives is better than our own pursuit of work in our lives. The last verse in this passage is verse 34. It's a verse that reminds us about our perspective. Luke 12, 34 says, where your treasure is, where you invest in, where you worry about the most, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure this morning? What are the needs that you are pursuing? What are the things you're chasing after with this innate understanding that you need to meet? What are you most worried about and most focused on? Jesus says, that's where your heart will be. I implore you, based on what Jesus is teaching us here, to put your treasure in your faith, in the faith of Jesus Christ. I beg you and I plead not to chase after the needs you find on this earth, but to understand that God has something so much better than food and clothes. He has something so much better than achievement and relationships. God has so much greater for you than simply meeting an earthly need. There is an eternal reward, an eternal life that He implores you to pursue. Put your heart and your life and your treasure into the kingdom of God, into faith in Jesus Christ. Our cure for anxiety is not just to continue to pursue meeting our earthly needs, but it's to give up and say, Lord, I cannot do this on my own. Every time I do it, I mess up. The Bible calls that sin. Every time I try to meet my own needs, I fall short. I get greedy or I do things for myself. Lord, I need You. I need Jesus Christ to forgive my sin and to provide for my needs, to show me how to live. This morning, I want you to take a moment, and if you're anxious about anything, if you're worried about the things of this world, can you set those aside for just a moment? Put them in perspective and trust the God who promises to meet your every need based on nothing that you've done, but based on His goodness and His desire to show you salvation. Will you submit to His salvation this morning? Let's pray. Father, I confess to You that I chase after meeting my own needs. Lord, I thank You that You are a God who is all-powerful and is able to meet any need I have in my life. Sometimes my needs are solely based on really what I want. Lord, I pray that You would convict me to put things in perspective and not chase after the things of the world. Lord, I pray that I would pursue wholeheartedly Your kingdom and my faith in Christ. Lord, I pray that You would forgive me for my sins, my chasing after the things of this world, my trying and striving to do things on my own. I pray that You would give me forgiveness through the cross of Christ, that You would take the punishment for the sin that I deserve. Lord, I pray that You would show me then how to live and meet my needs along the way. Lord, I pray that You would transform me into a new creation. Lord, let me not pursue the things of this world. Lord, cure my worry and my anxiety. Help me to focus on Your kingdom and Your salvation. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.